everyone, and this is a song that, by the way, is going to figure prominently in today's program. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay! Yay!
All right, bud, take it easy, will you?
What are you saying? This is going to figure prominently. Fellas,
look at that. I don't know if it's going to figure prominently, but...
Well, we're going to do a new feature called I Remember When. I'm Margaret Gray. And
yay!
Not yet, bud. And we're going to be looking at some of the groups and some of the things and, you know, some of the...
We're going to be looking at, like, celebrities.
Well, no, I don't think necessarily we'll be looking at celebrities, you know.
What are we going to be doing?
Like, it sounded like you went like this.
Margaret, now we know what's wrong with me.
Oh, let's get around to what's wrong with me. Is that it?
Well, I mean...
Never mind.
Margaret's going to do a some kind of a remember feature. So why don't we kick it off? This is Jay Giles, right?
I don't know that I'm ready to do it right now.
All right, well, I've got a couple of things I want to say.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I figured that'd get you going.
Jay Giles Band, how? What about him?
Well, I don't really have a whole lot to say about the Jay Giles Band, but I do have a little bit to say about Peter Wolf was the lead singer, and he wound up marrying Faye Dunaway, bud.
Hey.
That's nice. Is that...
Yeah, what about... What else?
What else? You don't think that's significant?
Well, yeah, it's significant. I mean, is he still married to her?
I don't know, Phil, and I wasn't ready to do the feature right now.
Well, when will you be ready?
Probably sometime tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, so we started it out with that song because...
I wanted to get a little feel for it. I want to hear the song. You see, this is a group, Phil, that was, I think, very prominent in the early blues revivals, don't you? Now, Phil, be nice.
Phil, you were holding forth, weren't you?
You asked me the question.
Yeah, not she, I asked you the question.
Margaret asked me the question, what do you think of the Jay Giles Band? And I said I thought that they sucked, and...
Oh, my God, Phil.
Phil, huh?
I mean, Mr. Henry.
Well, you'll have to explain that one. You really will.
I am just saying... Not what, what do you mean I got to explain it?
I just told you that Peter Wolf went on to marry Faye Dunaway, so there's currency there.
Margaret, I don't really care. I shouldn't say they sucked. They were like a pop version of a blues band, you know?
Well, I don't know anything about it. You know, I was knee-deep in Viet Cong at this particular point, if you'll pardon me. But I was up to my ass in Charlie, so...
I understand that, General. I'm just... telling you that that's,
No, you're saying that the Jay Giles Band was a big, just a sort of a steaming lump, is that it? And smelled equally as interesting?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that they were a top 40 version of blues, of a blues band. That's, that was my memory.
Like the big blues bands, Miss Henry? Yeah, what were some of the big ones?
Well, that was, you know, the big ones.
Jesus, you sounded like Father McCorder's there.
Well, all right, let's forget about what I sound like here. And let's get this mother on the road, man.
So what about the big blues band?
The big blues bands were whatever the big blues bands were. All right, so thank you, Margaret, for that. Will you find out?
Yes, I'm going to look into, but if you could, and you, Robert, as well, to find out with Faye Dunaway, how long she stayed married to this Peter Wolf. I can't imagine, you know, for very long.
I don't think I remembered... I remember, I think, when they got married, something like that.
Well, was it a big wedding? I don't...
I have no idea. There was just a thing in the paper that Faye Dunaway, the great actress from Bonnie and Clyde...
Thomas Crown Affair.
Thomas Crown Affair, yeah. Chinatown.
What was that?
Chinatown.
Was that a film?
Yes, it was a film, Margaret. Quit pretending like you're too young to remember.
I beg your pardon.
Chinatown and some other ones, so... So she was phenomenal and still remains phenomenal, but...
She's still alive?
Yes, she is. So anyway, she married this... What am I doing, man? This is your segment.
Yes, well, she married Peter Wolf, who was the lead singer there of the Jay Giles Band. One of the very early examples, I think, of the Hollywood zeitgeist, the pulling together, if you will, the pulling together of the personalities and the very interesting combinations, you know.
Well, it always seems to be the case that... These rock stars and shits, they marry their, you know...
Well, they're always marrying some movie star, vice versa, right? But who's the one you were just talking about the other day?
That was the guy, the guy from, who was it? He's the guy that was in the movie Shallow Hal.
Jack Black?
No. Played the fat girl.
The guy?
No, I don't know, Phil.
It was, what's her ass?
Yeah!
Who is what's-her-ass?
I don't know, man. Well, who did she marry?
She married the lady... Not lady.
You know, I think that Frank's gender confusion's starting to rub off on you.
She married... I know. I mean, he married Coldplay.
Yes, yes, Coldplay.
Speaking of another band... Well, never mind. Anyway, speaking of nothing, welcome to the show here today, folks. We have... I wanted to mention a book. I just want to recommend a book.
Oh, yes, I'm very interested in hearing about this.
This is the book about Anonymous.
Yeah. And perhaps it's been out a long time. If you haven't read it, you got to read this book. It's something like the Success of Anonymous or something. Hackers. Oh, I know. I got it on my phone.
You do a lot of Kindle, Mr.
I do read Kindle, and I even so much as read Kindle on my phone. So when you see Phil Hendry out there and he's looking at his phone, I'm not just nervously looking at my phone because no one wants to talk to me and I'm all alone and I think I'll just pretend like I got all this really serious bullshit that I got to do. It's because I may be reading a book.
Hey. Well, let's hear it for reading books.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Well, you sounded like that guy, Frank Flintstone.
Yeah, you mean Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, that's it, Fred Flintstone.
What did I say?
You went yabba yabba habba dabba. Is that the guy? Well, it's yabba dabba doo.
Yes, it's yabba dabba doo, all right?
Oh, I'm sorry, yabba dabba doo.
Hey, by the way, this guy that beat up that Uber driver, this really pisses me off. This guy that beat up that Uber driver, this guy's got an anger management problem, whatever. I mean, you saw that videotape, right?
Yes.
All right. The guy came on TV this morning, and I saw this thing. And he's bawling like a baby, and he's like, I'm the kind of person, all this stuff. Man, if I was this cat, I would absolutely not go public, you know?
Here he is right now. He's like, look at this. He's the guy, he's sniveling like a bitch.
Yeah!
I beg your pardon.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, he is. He gave an exclusive interview to, God damn, he's pulling people's hair, man. If I'd had a gun. I mean, he's lucky he walked out of that car. If that guy had a piece on him, boom, 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 boom. You know?
Oh, my God, Phil.
That would have been my instinct. This guy just comes in and starts slapping at the dude, grabbing the guy's hair. Guy turned around and just emptied a can of freaking, what is that shit? You know, pepper spray. Emptied a can of fucking pepper spray into this guy's face. The guy gets out of the car and starts walking away, and this dude chased him. And the guy the cab driver, Edward Caban, said, I don't trust this guy as far as I can throw him. I think he's a sack of shit. He sued the guy. Anyway, the guy was on TV this morning blubbering.
Well, I think we have to allow people to change and to feel sorry.
I think he's full of shit. Just like this guy said, if he wasn't on TV... And this whole thing hadn't been caught on tape on the dash cam, because this cat turned it. This guy, this is the kind of driver that Uber should hope to have. This guy had a dash cam, you know, he was on it. This clown, this whatever this guy's name is, the guy that started smacking this poor kid, this poor driver, this jackass is the kind of guy that just, you know, just makes life miserable for the rest of us. Because now we think every guy that gets into a car who's riding, getting a ride from Uber is some sort of a sack of shit. And maybe, but some of us are able to keep a lid on it.
Yay.
Thank you.
Yeah, in other words, every other guy that gets into a car is Uber or a taxi cab. He's a real pile of dog shit. But what do you talk about?
I don't know, but there's Anson Williams, who happens to be a parent at at Malibu. And they've closed Malibu High School for testing.
Yes, this is something I heard about. Some of the parents at Jason J. Delmonico's school was talking.
Your kid doesn't go to Malibu. You go to Santa Monica.
Yeah, what about it?
Nothing.
Or are you saying that Santa Monica doesn't have the same currency as Malibu? I beg to differ.
Margaret, we're not going to get into a whole status thing. All right, listen, we got to go and do Bob Bakian here.
Do Bob Bakian?
Jesus Christ, Phil.
We're going to get Bob Bakian on the phone here right now, or on the horn, or on the radio, the two-way. Yeah, that's it, the two-way. Bob Bakian with traffic. Bob?
All right, Phil, I got it better than there. We're going to roll off there, and I rolled in. There's Rollin' the Cloud. He's out by that Sluggo and Nancy, too, down there in Freeway. You got that? Better make sure they got that little. And Bob Bakian here, 9 pounds of swinging meat, and he's swinging out of the Highway 5. Down here on the Harbor Freeway, I'm looking at the floor plan, and the floor plan down there is all wrong. I think I'm going to go with Grant in the kitchen. I got that seeping. Oh, excuse me. Oh, I can't breathe. I'm sweating. Something happened because someone farted up here. Is that you, Robin? Yeah, probably the same thing. All right, Doug, thanks. You got probably go to go to Skyboy up there on the side side.
I'm talking about Taylor Ben, talking about a man fight. I got the gas out there, I've had a lot of... Then I'm back here, I got a little man still trying, and my team, I have to swap myself out, and I can't even wipe my own anus. Back around the third.
All right, so what we're going to try to do, we got to be alive, saved by the Holy Jesus H. Christ.
Thank you. Oh, thanks so very, very deeply for that one.
You want to warn these guys of something?
I let the guy gassing up those copters or those choppers or whatever that it is. All right, man.
This is the anthem.
So what? I want to tell you about the book, the anonymous book, and we'll be right back with that. And we also have today Chef Carl Cedilli, of course. Margaret with your whatever habit. Is that all we're going to hear about Jay Giles?
That's all we're going to hear about Jay Giles right now. I can look up and find out what happened to the marriage with Faye Dunaway, but we'll do that in a moment here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And we also have Rudy and Mavis revisited today. Rudy was hauled out. Rudy got into it with Chef Chedilia, and I think they've kissed and made up. Also, we have an interview today that we haven't done in a long time. It's called As You Like to Hear Them. This is a feature from our radio show about 3 or 4 years ago that people have liked and want to hear it brought back. And then R.C. Collins on the lost Mickey Mouse movie. All today on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah. California out to Georgia.
World famous Phil Henry Show, brought to you by
music, I just feel annoyed.
The fine people at Wix.com and DraftKings.com. All right, we got Chef Carl Cedilli over at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I don't know what happened yesterday. I don't want to know what happened yesterday, but Chef Cedilli is joining us now. And I'll tell you, it's, I guess it is what it is. Chef, how are you feeling today?
Well, I feel fine today. It wasn't a problem, and...
Well, we are very disappointed in the language you used.
I apologize for that, and I've also apologized to Rudy. And Rudy is going to come over here in just a minute. I'm sorry, Rudy, as you know.
Give me the phone, okay?
Just don't grab it, all right? When you grab the phone, things happen, okay?
Hey, you want to see what something is going to happen?
Oh, forget it.
Phil, we talked it out, me and Cedilli. I know Cedilli. I know the kind of man he is. He's a good man. He's a hard-working man. He's under a lot of pressure. And the other thing about you, and I'm going to say this, all right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't...
I'm going to say it. The man has a lot of weight. He carries around a lot of weight. I think that is puts his stress on him. And, you know, for me, I have to say, there's a lot of stress on your... You got the big fat gut.
Phil, this is an opportunity for you to slam me because you say I'm a fat ass.
I don't say you're a fat ass. Just ask anybody who walks in this place, you know. So I think that's the problem. I think all of that fat puts too much stress on the mental capacity of this man. Nonetheless, of course, I accept your apologies, and we move on.
Don't tell everybody what happened.
No, we don't have to revisit it, do we?
I think it's important, yes.
Go ahead. Tell him what you said.
I called him a S-P-I.
You see?
I'm very ashamed of that. I was angry, you know.
I don't care if you're angry, all right? You want me to come around here and call you a fat slob, you know? And it's not that that's as bad.
Now, you don't think calling me a fat slob is going to call you the S-word?
No, I don't. I think it's nowhere near as bad because the racial history... And
all right, can we, didn't you guys,
let's not have a sociology class this early in the morning.
He said it. I didn't say it, he said it.
All right, so Chef Cedilli, you know, you're a fine chef, but your ego sometimes,
I understand. Okay, do I have to suffer your corruption? I have to suffer your corruption in front of my audience?
Put the French fries down.
Well, why don't you go back behind the bar, okay? You know, you own a piece of that.
Well, I've said my piece.
Rudy, again, my apologies on behalf of the show.
Okay.
Oh, man.
You know, what are you saying?
I'm just talking to Phil, you know. God damn it, he's licking your rear end.
He better because of the...
What do you mean he better?
Because of the insult that I suffered on your airways.
All right, Rudy, I apologize on behalf of the show, like I said. And Chef Cedilli should have known better. And you know, we were just talking about that guy, that Uber driver, you know?
Hold on.
Not the Uber driver, the guy, the passenger?
No, hold on.
What are you eating, for Christ almighty?
I had a lot of sour cream in my throat, all right?
What? Yeah, but what are you eating?
I guess it's sour cream, all right?
Probably something with sour cream.
Really? Gee. Never mind.
I love a lot of sour cream.
He's eating sour cream with a spoon.
I've had...
Okay.
I didn't have breakfast, so I was just trying to get some protein.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, did you hear about the guy who was riding in the car and he started smacking that Uber driver?
You're not comparing me to him, are you?
Yeah, I am.
I wasn't violent.
I'm saying you didn't have any restriction. You didn't have any impulse control. That guy was violent. That was worse. But, you know, some of these words that we use can prompt a violent reaction. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, but that'd be on the guy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be on the guy. You're absolutely right. It would be on the guy. But if you know, it's different if you hurl an insult at somebody like that, that you know full well is going to piss somebody off. It's a little bit different than saying, gee, I was just walking down the street minding my own business. So,
I didn't side with them. I wasn't violent.
Did you apologize or didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Look, I can't understand a thing this guy's having. Repeat that. Did you apologize?
Yeah, who was that?
It's me, General Shaw. I can't understand a word you're saying when you're shoving sour cream into your kisser.
All right. Oh, my God. So I'm not allowed to have no breakfast?
You can have breakfast if you call that breakfast, but while you're talking, try and swallow that wad, okay?
Wow.
All right. Can we watch our language?
Yes, I don't like the choice of words.
Nor do I. Tell me swallow wad.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. God damn it. All right. So, Chef DeGilia, or Chef Chodilia, sir, what are we making today?
Well, today we're going to begin to prep our Thanksgiving turkey. As you know, for Thanksgiving is right around the corner, and we will be prepping our Thanksgiving turkey. And what you're going to need right off the bat is either the bubble ball, and we've already told you that we prefer the bubble ball turkey. And not only are you going to need the butterball turkey, but you're also going to need, of course, all of the fixings, Phil, for a beautiful and delicious turkey, which will be a part of your Thanksgiving table. Now, the stuffing is very important, and I would love to tell you that the stuffing that you will need for your turkey is something that is exotic and something that is something that you'll handmade. But I don't have time, and I don't give a shit. I'm sorry. God damn it.
Jeez, there he goes. You don't want to watch the language, do you?
Yes, I do.
This is distracting.
No, it isn't. This is the music.
Get the music wizard here, he won.
Yeah, that's fine. Turn it down a little bit, thank you.
Chef, is this the music that you wanted, Chef Chodilia?
Yes, it's fine. Is this turkey a little strong?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, you don't have to have it so loud. I thought that doesn't this come with... Don't they play this with a trumpet, or...
Can we just do the bit?
Sorry. So, as I was saying, Phil, what you'll need is stuffing, but I don't want to give a big, exotic, long thing. So I would just simply say, get the stovetop and let it go with that, okay? Get some stovetop stuff. Turn that motherfucking... Thank you very much.
You know, this may be the wrong time of day for you.
Why is that?
Oh, you're starting in with the MF. You called a guy the S word the other day.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the... I'm looking at this, what's her name, Kelly on... Oh, man, she's a real...
Are you going to do the turkey?
Sorry. So, am I going to do the turkey?
Are you going to give us the recipe?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The recipe for the turkey is as follows. You get I'm not going to give the whole thing. I want to get everyone prepped today, Phil. All right?
Yes, Phil, today he's going to be rolling out a lot of the ingredients. And then as we get closer to...
I see. So as we get closer to Thanksgiving...
Yes. We will then... get closer and closer to the to that wonderful day when we stick it in the oven and, you know.
Yeah, stick it in the oven and see what comes out.
Yeah, see what comes out. I know, when I put something in the oven, my friend, well.
Why don't you watch your language, all right?
Yeah, well, I mean, when I put it in something.
When you're cooking something.
Yeah, there it is. When you're cooking something. Excuse me. I all of a sudden began to gag and,
Well, it's no wonder what you're shoving in your face.
Oh, would you... Man, this guy, Phil, I'm telling you.
Look, I'm getting tired of this guy coming on the air, Phil. Don't put me in the middle of it.
This guy that you've got here...
Gentlemen, we can all agree to disagree.
What are we disagreeing about?
Whether you're a cook or not, how about that?
Wow. Boy, I tell you, General, I know that you're a former soldier, which means you probably have better physical conditioning. You've been in combat, which means you know how to fight. You can probably just kick my ass and then take me apart limb from limb, but you just made me mad.
Ooh!
I'm not kidding.
All right, General. Ooh!
Would you please tell him to stop that?
Stop it, General. Ooh!
Shut up!
Ooh! Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
So we're going to cook a turkey, and when I cook a turkey, it is a turkey that you'll long remember for eating, not because...
Yeah, I'd say it as much.
Well, with this crew, I've got to remind everybody what I'm talking about.
It is, of course, it's a turkey for eating.
Yes. And so that will be happening on the Chef Carl Cedilia portion of the Phil Henry Show as we progress here throughout the morning hours here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with me, Chef Carl Cedilia.
All right, so, Jesus Christ, bud.
Bart, that's Turkey in the Straw.
That's a very traditional turkey song.
This is Chef Carl Cedilia saying so long, everybody, from Tezabubbly. I really do need to swallow that poo-poo.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, thank you very, very much, Chef Carl Cedilia. And as we like to say in this show, we'll take it under advisement.
What is this? This sounds like he's about 10, this guy.
Oh, it's something. Who knows? Yeah, he's 10, all right. This is a band called Get Scared. It's Buried Alive. The world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Did I finish talking about the book?
Dubbasana, you talk about that book on Anonymous.
I was getting out my phone. I don't know what the hell happened. I have this on my phone, and I just want to tell you, it's a great book.
Now, this is the book on Anonymous.
Yes. As you all know, we have the... This entity called Anonymous. They exist online, and they're quite fascinating. And I've started reading this book called Hacker, Hoaxer, Whistleblower, Spy. I think is what the
Jesus, Phil, it's what spy. Either you know the name of the book, or you don't.
I'm looking at it on my Kindle here, man. So hold the phone, Jack. Okay. Cover, here we go. Hacker, Hoaxer, Whistleblower, Spy, The Many Faces of Anonymous. And it was written by Gabriella Coleman. She's an anthropologist, okay?
Now, what is an anthropologist?
Yeah, that's like a scientist, right?
It's an anthropologist is a scientist, but an anthropologist is involved in the science of the study of humankind from cultural... And there are physical anthropologists as well. But the evolution and the development of culture and every aspect of human culture and how we behave and what influences us and what makes us what we are today as opposed to what we were 100 years ago. And she has written this book, which I think is incredible, man, about Anonymous.
These are the guys that go around hacking everybody and bugging everybody left and right.
Now, you said there was something about the phone freaks of the 60s.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, this is really interesting, man. I had no idea, and I was... you know, alive then, but this is the subculture that existed in the 60s and the 70s called the phone freak, P-H-R-E-A-K. And the phone freaks were individuals that were able to simulate the tones and the different digital, or not digital, but the different electronic sounds and analog sounds that came down the phone line. We've all heard those sounds, right, bud?
Yeah, the ones they all go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, and stuff like that.
What the hell? This guy, every time you get him to explain something, come on, General, you know, like when you listen to a phone.
When you're listening to a telephone, General, you'll hear the scratching and...
Yeah, but I just assume that that's just a lot of garbage.
It's not a lot of garbage. You know, in the old days, we're not talking now with the use of cell phones. The cell technology is different. But back in the old days when you were using an analog phone, we're using just a regular wall phone, folks, okay, and a landline, and there was no fiber optics, all of the things. There were no computers necessarily. I think computers were beginning to come into regular use in businesses in the 60s, but you did hear all these little, you know...
Yes. I remember, I'll tell you one thing, when we would get a phone call home, Jesus H. Christ, it'd take you forever to connect it.
Yeah, but I mean, but you'd always hear a lot of beep, 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 you know. What the hell?
You know, the owls have a sound. Go boom, 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 you know.
But you're not explaining a...
You're not explaining a GD thing.
Yeah, I am. You're not using the imagination.
What do you mean imagination, man?
I'm saying, when they... You would call up and...
Slow down, for God's sake. You're spitting all over me.
You would call up a place, okay?
Yes?
Yeah. Then...
But...
Excuse me, but I think I have the floor.
Look, but...
I have the floor.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. Now,
will you come on?
Yeah. So anyway, what they would do, you call up, you hear...
What are you talking about, man? Are you talking about the pops in it?
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
All right, let me just... I'll pick it up from here.
Let me pick it up.
The topic of conversation, not the garbage on the floor. I told you to pick that up before we went on the air.
Excuse me.
So anyway,
do
you mind being quiet while I'm doing this?
Sorry.
So these were the sounds, right?
Yeah, they would go like do.
Will you shut your hole,
bud? Yeah. So those are the sounds. Well, anyway, to make a long story short about the phone freaks of the 60s and 70s. When I say the 60s and 70s, it was wild because these were people that were able by using these little electronic sounds. They were able to circumvent, if you will, the phone company, get around Ma Bell, and they could eavesdrop on party lines, and they could also connect with each other, people who just dug doing this, and a lot of them were like blind kids.
Now, this is the most fascinating part of this. Blind children.
Well, I mean, old enough teenagers who had no real connection with the world. I mean, this is, if you think about it, it's heartbreaking, but this is how they hooked up with the world, man. A world where you didn't need sight. A world where you just could interact with people based upon this language, this communication, and they were talking to each other.
They were talking to each other on a party line?
Yeah, in other words, they would create their own party lines by utilizing these sounds, these pops and these clicks and this is the way that the phone company would communicate or would connect regular phone calls. They would use these, counterfeit the sounds, if you will, and get into party lines. And a lot of you guys don't know what a party line is, but when I was growing up, and I never had one, frankly, because my father made enough money.
For God's sake, Phil.
I'm just kidding around.
But it is true. We didn't either. I think it was mostly for those people who were unfortunately not able to afford their own phone lines. I am Margaret Gray.
Yay! Okay, so you got that one in. By the way, we did have a party line.
What do you mean a party line?
Party line. Party line.
Party line? What a dirty... Pick this crap up, bud.
Sorry.
Don't be singing. I'm on the air here.
Sorry.
So these were party lines, yeah. And anyway, all of this stuff, and they began to prank and they began to trick. And the whole thing with Anonymous is that Anonymous is the inheritor of a trickster mythology, a trickster culture that goes back centuries. In fact, Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream.
Now, what is this?
Puck was a little elf, a little fairy. A fairy, bud, like in real.
You see, you can't have a discussion, would you?
He said fairy.
I'm going to kick your ass out of here permanently.
Sorry.
Puck was a little fairy character in Midsummer Night's Dream that enjoyed pranking and enjoyed just fooling and messing with people, okay? And one of the things about the trickster in mythology, in common usage, whether in Western or Eastern civilization, is that the trickster doesn't care how you feel, doesn't really care what happens to you. The trickster loves to trick just because he or she can. And that was really the world of the trickster and then the troll on the internet.
Now, just one more thing about the phone freaks.
Yeah.
What was this event?
Okay, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. Anyway, there was a major event. Now, understand, these are all phone freaks, and these are people that are out there, man. I mean, I used to make fake phone calls when I was a kid. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about some punk kid sitting there and calling and going, "Hello, mommy." I had a friend of mine who used to do little kid voices, you know.
I hope that wasn't it.
No, but and we used to call up people and say, "Hi, mommy." You know, I'm.
You didn't, Phil.
Yes, we were 13. What do you want from me?
My God, you probably made some poor woman sick with worry.
Yeah, maybe we did, okay? I apologize, but I was a punk kid then. Anyway, so long story short, and every time I say that, yeah, the story's getting longer. So these phone freaks were operating in this world where they were able to create their own party lines, talk to each other, talk about the stuff they were trying to pull. It was very, very interesting, and they would jump in and jump into other party lines. So what happened was in 1974, a major phone freak event happened in Santa Barbara, California. It's one of the biggest hoaxes around, and it was chronicled, I think, by another anthropologist that she quotes in the book. In 1974, the people, these phone freaks, were able to get every phone in Santa Barbara, California, to connect to this one number that was being operated by another phone freak. And this individual would answer each call that came in saying a nuclear bomb has just gone off in Santa Barbara.
You're bullshitting me.
No, I swear to God.
And this is according to this author?
Yes, yes, yes. And it's in this book called The Many Faces of Anonymous. You gotta read this, man. I'm only like, I can tell, when I get back into this thing, I'll probably finish it in one sitting. Hacker, hoaxer, whistleblower, spy, The Many Faces of Anonymous. And if you're on Phil TV in HD, that's what the cover looks. It's got the Guy Fawkes mask.
That's the mask they use for the whole Scientology.
Yeah, the Guy Fawkes mask, the thing about Anonymous that they're saying, and this is the coolest part of this, is that Anonymous started in the seedy garbage pit of basically, excuse me for putting it this way, the asshole of the internet.
Jesus H. Christ, Phil.
Well, I mean, that's it. The asshole of the internet, which is 4chan.
Now, this 4chan is some kind of a message board, right?
Yeah, 4chan's, are you kidding me? That's the best thing that there's ever been. I go there all the time.
Yeah, I'll just go 4chan.
What are you doing there?
Just talking to people and everything.
Well, 4chan is a real disgusting pit. But here's the thing. Everybody on 4chan is anonymous. 4chan...
Now, what is this 4chan? What is that supposed to mean?
It stands for channel. It's based on it on a similar thing that was happening in Japan.
See, right there. So this was a message board in Japan that they...
Well, it was based on a message board that was operating in Japan, yeah.
See, these...
You were going to say Japs, weren't you?
I'm sorry, but yes. They, you know... two atomic bombs had no noticeable effect.
Hey, come on, General.
I'm just telling you.
All right, so, God damn.
That was uncalled for.
Well, these Japanese...
It's not their fault, General. It was something that was taken and morphed by the clowns that are online over here. So, yeah, and I have to say that 4chan is not just American, it's international, but much of the... plotting and planning and much of the matrix of this thing existed probably among the individuals here in the United States that were on that message board. But 4chan was a place of absolute unbridled and uncensored speech. So it was, and still continues to be, a vile hole that was born of the old internet, Usenet, you know.
Oh, yeah, those assholes, that IRC bullshit.
Okay, so now I understand.
Well, yeah. Anybody that was on IRC, anybody using Usenet, is a very, very early user of the internet, the communication of the internet. But here's the thing about Anonymous, before we get too far afield.
Yeah, we're burning daylight here.
We're burning daylight because you guys won't let me finish.
Fine, good God.
Well, so the thing about it is this. Anonymous was born and out of 4chan. 4chan was a place where all these sociopathic, psychopathic, crazy-ass people were. But Anonymous, it appears, was something that came from the people at 4chan that actually gave a shit about society. You know, and there's those people everywhere. And it was prompted by the Tom Cruise.
Oh, yes. This was the Tom Cruise video. Where he said, when you drive by an accident, you feel compelled to do something if you are a Scientologist. Now, hold on, General.
Jesus.
No. Scientology I don't hold with, but I do very much adhere to that point of view. And as you know, Tom Cruise is one of our great stars, Phil.
All right, Margaret, let's not do a press release for Tom Cruise. I'm just saying.
Well, you're just saying what? You're saying the very phrase you don't like.
Yes. Only here it applies. I'm just saying that Tom Cruise's video, the Scientology video that he did about he was cackling and he was talking about how bitchin' he was. He was talking about how great Scientology was. He was talking about what a hot, you know. And I guess it got censored or pulled off the net.
Yeah, probably Scientology took it off because it looked like a, he looked like a douchebag.
Who's this? This is this guy Cruz.
Yeah. I don't know, but it was taken off. Well, what happened was the people at 4chan got pissed off at that because that was censorship. And suddenly, a bunch of people on 4chan who, you know, were talking about Scientology being a piece of shit, and this is not my opinion. Well, I mean...
what is your opinion of Scientology?
I'm not getting into it. I'm just saying they were talking about it being a piece of shit. And they began to talk among themselves. You know, this is really wrong what Scientology does. They suck. They do this. They do that. They started hooking up with other older generation anti-Scientologist people who had not been online, just people who were, you know, in a letter-writing campaign or whatever. One of them was Mark Bunker, a guy down. He used video. He used a lot of YouTube. Mark Bunker did. He's a prominent opponent of Scientology. And so what happened was... these cats began to form this loose network of people saying, well, we got to do something about it. And that's what Anonymous was.
All right, so you're trying to tell me that out of this big cesspool of assholes...
General.
No, that's what Phil's saying. Out of a cesspool of assholes and psychopaths, there are a bunch of these sweethearts that came out called Anonymous.
I'm just telling you, man, in any mass of humanity, that's not all going to be assholes. There's a lot of people on 4chan... who were there because they just liked the free speech. It didn't necessarily mean they wanted to share videos of animals being tortured. Which, by the way, anytime anything was over the line on 4chan, it seemed that it would bring out the people who were, you know, decent people and thought that you can't have that stuff.
You're not telling me they had those kinds of videos.
I'm not going to comment any further, okay? But the place was pretty unrestrained and probably still is if it still exists. I don't know.
Yeah, it still exists. People go over there all the time. Oh, and there's a lot more places and everything.
Yeah, the way the internet is now, you go anywhere. Well, a lot of places are starting to regulate their speech. Anyway, we're doing a whole lot of bullshit here, and we've got a lot more to do. So we've got, we've gone through Jeff Carl Cedilli. We've got Rudy and Mavis who'll be talking about Dump Trump. And then, of course, as you like to hear them in the Lost Mickey Mouse film with R.C. Collins, all ahead here, world famous Phil Hendry. She'll be right back.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. My name, General Galen Shaw. What about it? Yeah!
All right, Jesus. Ted's in Beverly Hills, of course, is Rudy Canoza, and we're about to get Mavis Leonard on the line here, Robert Leonard's aunt in Southgate, California, and we will be talking with her and Rudy about the Dump Trump movement. I think I would start with you, Rudy, because we talked a little bit with Mavis. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, Phil. You, I totally agree on that, Rudy.
Thank you, Mavis. Good morning to you, dear.
Yeah, good morning. I've had a pleasure.
My name is Rudy Canoza, and...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mavis. This is Rudy Canoza. He's a bartender at Ted's of Beverly Hills. He also part owns the bar there.
I'm a part owner.
Yeah, I'm only talking to a bartender? I was doing that last night.
Come on, Marty, let's serve it.
I'm kidding around. All right, so...
Well, there's nothing wrong with your aunt going out and having a drink.
You better believe that. Only I drink at home, you know. I don't drink out. I don't go into these dumps and toilets like Robert and his friends do. I stay at home. I have my Henry Weinhardt, and I watch my Animal Planet. Or I watch sometimes, I love to see TCM.
Oh, I love TCM.
Yeah, well... I just watched TCM for about a half hour to see if any black people are on that channel, and then I take it on over to bed.
I thought you liked the TCM.
I like TCM if I see a black person. Shit. Only one I ever see her.
All right, Mavis, we don't have to talk about that today. Rudy and Mavis are here to give us the pros and the cons of Dump Trump. Rudy, I know you're a big, big opponent of Donald Trump's. And, Mavis, because you were able to hold forth yesterday to some degree about Donald Trump, Rudy, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Bill. I believe they should dump Trump from Saturday. This is Saturday Night Live, right?
We got to see. What do you mean, dump Trump?
This is a move to have Donald Trump not invited to Saturday Night Live.
Well, personally, I could give a hot holy...
Well, let me say, Donald Trump should not be allowed on the Saturday Night Live. Now, I realize that the censorship should only be exercised and only practiced by the entity what controls the program. So I'm not saying it should be government.
Can I ask a question?
No, you may not. This is my time.
Mavis, if you just let him talk.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Talking about it.
Talk about an entity.
I'm talking about...
An entity is like a supernatural being. You can't talk...
What is she saying?
No, we're not talking about... What do you mean an entity is a supernatural being?
Just what I said.
Oh, you're talking about in terms of the paranormal. No, an entity, just an individual, a being, some sort of a person.
Oh.
So the entity, not a ghost. Saturday Night Live, I think, should not have Donald Trump on their program. Donald Trump is a divisive character, along with the fact that the things that he said about Hispanic people, which I will never forgive, and no one can explain it away. I am not a stupid man. I heard what the man said. He called them rapists. He called them murderers. Oh, there's some good, and I imagine there's some good people, is the way he said it. Donald Trump has a way of putting things where you're supposed to come in after the fact and interpret it. And once you interpret, then everybody is going to say that that everything is fine, and we move on. No. Let me say this. I will say this, and I will say this loud, and I will say this proud. Donald Trump, I wipe with Donald Trump.
Oh, my God.
I wipe with
him. All right. So Donald Trump offended you.
I'm not going to watch his dumbass on Saturday Night Dead.
All right. Let me say something. You wipe with Donald Trump.
Yes. His whole career, him, his family, everything.
That is dirty pool. That's wrong.
Well, that is wrong, Rudy. His whole family.
All right, I take that part back.
Ah, look, see? You said something that you did not mean to say. Now you take it back.
At least I apologize for it. Donald Trump would never apologize for that.
All right, is my turn, Mr. Henry?
Yes.
All right, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Now, Phil, I told you yesterday, I think Donald Trump, I love everything about this guy. I think this guy is where it's at. And I think he's going to help America if people shut up long enough and let him do his thing. But right now you have all these people like Rudy and all of them getting upset. Now, I don't know what the man said, and I don't care. I know we have an immigration problem. We got too many of these suckers coming in all over. They're crawling in this place. They're coming in under the woodwork. They're coming in out of underneath the baseboard.
Now, you got that right.
Hey, whoa.
I'm agreeing with you.
Whoa. Now, I think that Donald Trump should be allowed to be on a Saturday Night Live. Who said he can't be on Saturday Night Live? The damn comedy show. Who gives a sweet hot holy? I couldn't drop one half of one rat turd about Donald damn Trump being on Saturday Night Live. I don't even watch that chump change show. I haven't watched that chump change since they had on that Delucci and douchebag, whatever that man's name is.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, and they had on that program, John Belushi.
Oh, yeah. Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, there you go. Dan. What's his name? Dan.
Name was Dan Aykroyd.
That's when that show was good. I don't give a sweet JC what on that pile right now. So put Donald Trump on that. You're going to help him get some votes. That's fine.
All right.
Wait, what? All of a sudden, you jumping in?
Yeah, what do you got to do with this, Henry?
I'm moderating it, okay?
All right,
so both of you took the positions that I anticipated you would take. You being against it, Mavis, and you being for it, Mavis, and you being against it, Rudy. Let me ask some questions, Rudy. First of all, Mavis made a very good point. She said, who cares? It's a comedy show. It's watched by comedy fans. Perhaps it's looking at it from your point of view, Rudy, maybe it's a good place to make fun of Donald Trump.
Well, you could say a good place to make fun of Donald Trump, but they're not going to do it. They won't have the guts. This is Saturday Night Live. They lick up one side down the next. All they're going to do is put their lips on Donald Trump's ass.
All right. Mavis, let me ask...
Wait. Hold on. I'm not done. They put their lips on Donald Trump's ass and...
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
All right. Mavis, Donald Trump going on Saturday Night Live, does he really need to? Given the cultural currency of that show, generally people that go on that show are considered to be very hip and with it, and it really gives them a pop in terms of the ratings. But going in, this guy is perceived to be a lame ass. So do you think it'll help?
Boy, you make a few assumptions there, Mr. Henry. Wow.
Yeah, but Miss Irvin's right.
Hey, no one's talking to you, Robert. I'm on a Phil Henry show now. I'm giving my feeling on all this bull crap he's talking about. Mr. Henry, I want to tell you this. I think that Donald Trump can go on that program. He don't have to go on that program. He don't need that program. That program needs Donald Trump.
Well, that's what Donald Trump would say.
Excuse me, Margaret. I love you.
I'm sorry.
But I got the floor on this here show. I'd say that Saturday Night Live want to have Donald Trump on to pop the ratings on that turd. Because like I said, I haven't watched that ever since they had on a John Douchebag. I'm sorry, John Belushi, ever since they had him on. So if Donald Trump wants to give Saturday Night Live a break, give them suckers a break, he go on their show. But if Donald Trump couldn't care less whether the Saturday Night Live show stay on the air or they turn the whole thing in a car wash or they put everybody to work, they put their bitch asses to work at the toll booth on all them bridges they got going in that town, I don't care. But Donald Trump is my man and he's going to be elected the President of the United States.
Get out of here, man.
I told you, Robert, you know that. I told you and you know it.
All right, well, a very interesting conversation. First of all, I want to thank both of you for making this one that did not necessarily turn into a free-for-all.
Whatever.
Yes, you know, Rudy, he's all pissed off. That
it doesn't make any difference to me whether he's on, but if they're going to put a Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live, then I don't need to watch their program anymore. It shows me they are whores at Saturday Night Live. They're a Dolly Parton. They've had some Trump change on that show going back a long way.
What do you mean Dolly Parton?
They had Dolly Parton on that show. I like Dolly Parton as much as the next guy to look at the large, the biggies that she had, the big ones, you know.
He had a big one, but about...
But what's she doing on that show? She doing a country music. It was lame. Lame.
Well,
lame.
All right, it was lame. I don't... Talk about country music. Somebody put on Dolly Parton, man. I go the other way. All right? So...
You say that you like a Donald Trump. I think you like your country music.
Don't confuse Donald Trump with that Trump change, that Butterhog, Dolly Butterhog. Man, I love...
All right, thank you very much, everybody, for your point of view. Thank you, Rudy.
Yeah, I've got to get... They're unloading stock in my bar. I have to...
Go ahead. And Mavis?
All right, Phil, they're unloading stock in your bar. I might pay a visit to your bar. I'll give you a break and grab some money.
Well, you're welcome to come by.
All right, thank you anyway, guys. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Baby, won't you come? And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, of course, the world-famous Phil Henry Show all this month, the month of November, our big, big giveaway. And that includes a swag bag, yes, an entire bag of goodies valued at $150, including our Best of the Radio CD digital collection, if you sign up for a backstage pass.
Well, we'll be automatically entered to win a contest.
Yes, that's what I said.
Well, you sort of made it sound like if you get a backstage pass, you're going to get a swag bag. No, no way. We're too cheap for that.
Yeah. God damn.
All right. There's a lot of other stuff there, too. Oh, by the way, if you sign up for a whole year, you get the...
Yes. Oh, I forgot to say, if you sign up for a whole year, Phil will record a message in your favorite character voice for you.
Is this like for the phone?
Yeah, they put it on the telephone answering machine.
All
this
money, I'm a cash. All right, guys. We're going to do As You Like to Hear Them, and we are going to do that, but we're going to do that tomorrow because we just don't have time. Right now, I don't think we have enough time for As You Like to Hear Them, do they? Do we?
They don't, but we... No, and neither do we.
Probably not. We do have R.C. Collins with us in Northern California. I want to talk to him very briefly about this lost Mickey Mouse tape. I don't know what this is or what exactly it represents, but there was some kind of a film that was found, Margaret, in a basement in England.
Now, this was a film company, right?
I think it was a film company, or it was some kind of an entertainment company, some place that stores these kinds of things. R.C. Collins joining us now from San Leandro, California. And R.C., do you have any information on exactly what this is?
Well, I mean, no more than really what Ms. Gray just said about it being found in a Foot Locker or something, you know?
Maybe a Foot Locker.
Well, I mean, they found it like in a guy's Foot Locker over in the England.
In a Foot Locker.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was like over at an entertainment company, as far as I understand it.
Now, what, R.C., this is General Shaw.
Yes, sir.
Now, what exactly was this this film? Was this a Walt Disney?
Well, yeah, it was. It was a Walt Disney. It was a very early version of the Mickey Mouse. And what's interesting about it, Phil and General and Margaret and Bud and Robert, and everybody listening on your computer or maybe on your iPhone and in your car. And
okay, we've got the whole thing covered.
Yeah, is the fact that it was a Mickey Mouse that was sort of, I would say, and I don't mean to be, well, I mean, I don't mean to be judgmental, but kind of wrecked, you know?
Yeah, I heard about it. It's kind of wrecked looking.
Yeah.
What do you mean wrecked?
What does that mean, wrecked?
You mean, are you saying it was ugly, or...?
Well, yeah, it was a little wrecked and ugly-looking. But here's the thing that makes it valuable, I think, for any follower of the Walt Disney and of... If you are an aficionado of the Mickey. And,
Look, of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, of Mickey Mouse. First of all, it was a mouse that had big, long ears. Most mices or mices.
Most mouse.
Yeah, most mouse have regular round ears that you would see Mickey Mouse has. Well, I mean, mice don't look like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, we know mice don't look like Mickey Mouse. Talk about when it looked like Mickey.
God, man, what's up with you? You look like Mickey.
All right, hold on for a minute. The film that I saw, if I may just say... R.C., are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm waiting for you.
All right. The film that I saw showed a Mickey Mouse. First of all, it was, it looked like it was the 20s, right?
Yes, it was the 1920s, and it was done by Walt Disney, and it was done of Mickey Mouse.
Yes, we understand that, for Christ's sake.
Hold on.
God damn.
Oh, hold on. And this was a Mickey was ice skating.
Yeah, it was a Mickey Mouse that was ice skating, and it wasn't really much of anything. It was... I don't even think it was supposed to be a cartoon.
Yeah, it was probably just like a test or something.
Yeah. What do you call a demo?
Well, I don't even know if it was a demo, but maybe it was something that he sent to the studio in England to say, hey, look, you know, this is the Mickey Mouse, you know?
All right, so he drew this Mickey Mouse cartoon. What did Mickey Mouse look like?
Mickey Mouse in this cartoon had long ears, like almost like a rabbit, but not quite, okay? And he was shorter and fatter.
Shorter and fatter. That's interesting.
Yeah. And it had, well, I mean, that's about it. It was just going in a circle and it had no sound.
It had no sound.
No, it just, like I say, it probably was. And the Mickey in this one, I can tell you, and I think I'm very safe in saying this, Mr. Henry, I would not have been interested in following this Mickey Mouse.
Well, what do you mean, follow it?
I wouldn't have bought nothing based on it, that's for sure. Because it looked pretty wrecked.
All right, we do have to go. This is endlessly fascinating to me. You say it looked wrecked, and I don't know what that means. But it was not the Mickey Mouse. I'm assuming it wasn't the Mickey Mouse that we know.
No, it's not the Mickey Mouse that we would look at today.
Yeah, this Mickey Mouse isn't anything I would buy. I would not want to see it on a cartoon. Nothing like that.
Have you got a cold or something?
No, I just woke up or something, if that's what you mean.
You just woke up? Jesus.
Yeah, I just woke up.
All right, look, thank you very much, R.C. Collins, with his view of the Mickey Mouse, or I mean Mickey Mouse. I don't even know about the Mickey Mouse.
Well, this is what they're calling it now, the Mickey Mouse.
I mean, they're calling it that now.
What is it, some underground?
Well, there seems to be a movement afoot to call it the Mickey. Don't give me the look. I don't know anything about it.
All right. Thanks, R.C., for the Mickey Mouse. I mean, for Mickey Mouse and how wrecked it was on that early tape. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, world
world-famous Phil Henry Show, executive produced by Phil Henry. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One, man.
Yeah!
I'm General Galen Shaw, and remember, you see me coming, friend, you better have a reason that you're standing there, because I'm not...